Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sales is King. This is Dan Sixsmith. I'm your host. Happy to be with you again. And we've got a great guest, another great guest on the program today, Dr. Lisa Palmer, who is one of the subject matter experts today in AI, artificial intelligence. We're so excited to have her on. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting topics. Lisa, welcome to the program. So glad to have you. I know we've been trying to book this for a long time.
We have. I'm excited to finally get us together, Dan. Thank you for your patience. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Absolutely. Very excited about it. So tell us the story a little bit. You've had a great career. Lead us up to the process of your career and how you started to get interested in artificial intelligence and then really taking the plunge and going so deep into it.
So my undergraduate degree is in engineering. I actually grew up on a farm and I knew absolutely no one who was an engineer, by the way. But when I was in high school, I was offered a full ride scholarship to the Colorado School of Mines, which is a renowned engineering school. So I said, hey, great, I'm going to be an engineer. I have no idea what that means, but I'm in. And so it was a fantastic way to start my journey because I showed up to campus and I went to my first 8 a.m. class and there was myself and one other woman in a classroom of over 300 people. And that set the stage. That set the stage for the rest of my career. Little did I know at the time. So I have absolutely loved working in and around tech ever since those early days. And I went straight out of college, got involved in telecommunications from a network planning and network engineering perspective. I spent 2 whole months as an engineer, found myself in the tech space, and I've been there ever since. So that was all because I learned the data structures, and I was really early doing a lot of data and analytics work and just loved it, totally stumbled into it and loved it. And that started me into a long IT career that culminated. I ran global infrastructure for ConocoPhillips, so think 45,000 desktops around the world. It was fantastic. I worked a lot with Microsoft at the time because, you know, they were one of our primary vendor partners. And I was actually recruited by Microsoft out of that engineering role into a sales role. And when they asked me about being in a sales role, I thought, what? I've always been a practitioner, right? But my kids were small. And I was in a 24/7 global travel all around the world job. And I was being offered an opportunity to move into a work from home role and simultaneously learn a completely new part of the business. And I thought, what a fantastic opportunity. So I took that. So I've had practitioner experience all the way up to including a CIO role. Then I added this fantastic opportunity to learn how to generate revenue. And then kind of the third lens I like to see the world through is I worked for Gartner's Executive Programs Organization and was responsible for co-leading roughly 900 executive relationships, helping clients to understand how to use Gartner's research in pursuit of their digital transformations. So that led me to an opportunity to really rethink at this point in my career, what do I want to do next? And I was, full disclosure, a woman in the tech space facing 50 and knowing I was going to have to reinvent myself to continue to have the career that I wanted. And when I looked at the big picture landscape, I could see that AI was going to be the next big thing. And I wanted, and I love data, love, love, love data. And I've had that in my career forever. And so it made perfect sense to take the plunge. And so I decided to pursue my doctorate in artificial intelligence and really looking to get into the deep end of the pool so that I could be somebody that would create impact in this next phase of my journey. And it's just been a fantastically fun place to be.
I mean, that's just tremendous. And certainly, getting out there ahead of the trend is really, really important. Before we get into that, tell us a little bit about the transition from engineer to seller. What was that like? What were some of the highs and lows of that experience?
You know, probably my biggest lesson learned in that was how hard it would be to manage the internal pieces of the sales process. The customers were the easy part because I knew what it was like to be the customers, right? I'd been in that chair for years and years. So that part was so easy, but learning how to manage all of the internal mechanizations that you have to get through to get deals teed up and managed properly and get all the right resources brought in at the right moments in time, that I had underestimated the complications that were involved on the inside of the selling process.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, right? Because you know, there's more and more technology today, and we're seeing that sellers are spending even less time with customers. The latest statistic was like only 5% of the buyer's journey is with a seller. So it's, you know, I can completely understand that. And you would think that today maybe we would have more FaceTime, you know, and maybe that's something we can get into a little bit when we talk about AI and sales. But you would like to think we'd have more FaceTime with customers, that some of these other tasks can be done, you know, by an AI assistant or something like that. Is that something you're seeing potentially coming down the road?
I like to counsel sellers to make sure that you're meeting buyers where they are. The world has shifted, and you have to be where your buyers are. They are often not answering their phone. Their emails are completely full. Lots of noise coming in their emails. Even to give context, when I was running infrastructure, I got as many as 300 emails a day. So imagine that you're a seller that's trying to get access to that leader. They don't have time to read whatever you've sent them. They're not even getting to all of the content that they absolutely have to read to be, you know, to be up to speed inside their own job. That problem is exacerbated by AI.
Yeah.
Because now we can do so much more volume as a result of the artificial intelligence tools that exist. So doing more of what you were doing before is probably not going to work. So
no.
I like to tell people to think about your public presence. You need to be credible. Both as a brand and as an individual, you need to be credible and you need to be seen where your buyers are at. And a lot of times that's on social.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, this whole notion of subject matter expertise, thought leadership, and having a personal brand is just so important, because when buyers are out there researching, you know, I often say become part of the research. Let them find your video or your blog or your piece of content. And then, you know, when they come around and it's time to look at the solution and they're like, oh yeah, I know you, you know, I think that's super important. And we were just talking to a potential vendor today, and they were saying the same thing to us, like AI can just dramatically clutter inboxes more. So there's gotta be more of an angle, you know, when they're trying to leverage the folks in our organization that have a public presence, in on social, and they just feel like that's just a better way, you know, to engage today. So yeah, I know, I agree with you 100%.
Well, Dan,
so
I'll give you an example. My own business.
Yeah.
I launched my own business roughly a little bit over a year ago. My business is 100% inbound. It's 100% inbound, and that is largely because of my LinkedIn presence and my blog. And that is about me being where the buyers are. I provide a valuable service to them by providing education and, you know, resources and helping to be somebody that they trust, because I invest in them every day by spending my own time and putting out, you know, useful content for other people to use. And as a result of that, my business is 100% inbound. I don't have to outreach. I don't have to try to reach through the noise. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the natural evolution of creating that trusted interaction with people that I don't even realize are following my content sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal state for sure. And it's funny when someone pops up, you know, that says they've been following you for years, but has never commented or said anything. And then suddenly, you know, they become a customer.
Lurkers. They're lurkers, so, Dan.
Well, that's it. You know, it's like the people on Facebook, you know, that they just don't even comment, but they're just following all your personal stuff, you know. But I think that's great. And so for your own business today, tell us a little bit about that. What are you, your counseling organizations around AI strategy, or what sort of components are involved in a typical engagement with you?
Right. So I am typically working with Fortune 500 organizations, executives, and boards of directors, helping them to build out their artificial intelligence strategy, whether that is around productivity that's driving profitability, or whether it is around products and services that are really designed to leverage artificial intelligence to drive revenue. So it has a lot of different components. I do keynote speaking, I do one-on-one advising for executives, I do team advising, I do workshops, I help organizations to put governance in place. Governance is really important right now. Team structures, what do their teams need to look like? How do they make sure they've got the right diverse perspectives on their teams to really be successful? And, you know, sometimes I do really tactical things. Like I had an entire cohort of CEOs come to me and ask me to teach them how to use generative AI so that they could come at it from a place of understanding.
I love that.
Me too.
Rolling up your sleeves and getting in there as a practitioner. So what's the biggest mistake people or companies are making today with AI, or what's the biggest misconception that they typically have?
The biggest problem that I see with organizations are the wait and seers.
Mm.
We're just going to wait and see. We're going to wait and see what's going to happen. This market is moving forward so fast that if you're not raising awareness for your employees, if you're not elevating education and understanding, if you're not pivoting in the marketplace to embrace the possibilities that these new tools are bringing to the table, you're putting your entire business at risk. And so my fear for these individuals is that what they think is a low risk strategy, we're just going to wait and see. They think that that's the low risk strategy. And in my opinion, that's the highest risk approach they can take.
Yeah, no, I see that. And I mean, this just has the potential to just rewrite the landscape, really almost like the internet, or, you know, digital marketing and things of that nature. So you've got to be in it to win it, I guess. And, you know, there's just so much to it. But I guess you're able to go in there and, you know, help these companies just navigate, right? That's probably the biggest thing they're trying to figure out. It's such an expansive area, but you've been able to break it down into those different areas. I'd love to talk a little bit about sales and AI. I know you've got certainly that background on your website. You offer a few different courses around sales acceleration. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, how is AI changing sales now, and how will it be changing sales, you know, in the near future?
So many individuals from a sales perspective have been using different types of artificial intelligence for a while. So if they were using Chorus or Gong, a lot of sellers are comfortable in that space. What I am seeing now is a strong delineation between those that are lifelong learners that are actively reaching out and seeking to understand. And they are creating this just massive gap between themselves and those that are not doing this. And so what I mean by that is they're educating themselves, they're becoming more effective, and they're becoming more efficient with what they do from a sales perspective. They are learning how to leverage things like large language models to help them to do their kind of their block and tackling tasks faster, so they can spend more time being strategic, so they can spend more time doing things that are going to move the needle with their particular book of business. And I'm seeing what are already, in my opinion, there are winners and losers being created right now today. And in the next 6 months, we're going to see a massive difference between those sellers that have invested, those sales leaders who are investing in their organizations, and those who aren't.
Yeah, I believe it. And it's really like it's a self-starter mentality, right? It's just, it seems like the high performers always figure out a way
right
to leverage whatever they have to do to get to the next level, right? So, and to some, you know,
to some of these organizations, credit, they are actively reaching out to me, asking me to train their entire North American organization. How do we upskill all of North America? I've now had two really large sales teams reach out and say, hey, how do we do this? What does that look like? And I have no doubt in my mind that the sheer fact that they are willing to embrace artificial intelligence in this way so strategically is going to set them far above their competitors in a very short period of time.
Without a doubt. I think that's great. So what does something like that look like from just a high level if you're going to train, you know, 2,000 sellers for, you know, a technology company? What are some of the key elements of that curriculum?
Yeah, so I like to think of it as upskilling, and what we are doing, and upskilling is continuous. We have to, you've got to continue because the market is shifting. New tools are literally available every day. So in 2023, there have been over 7,000 AI tools released to the market. Right.
Yeah, I believe it. I've looked at a few podcasting ones and they're just endless.
I know.
So
and so what that means to us from a sales lens is we can't just say, oh, we're going to train everybody and it's all going to be fine. It doesn't work like that. What we have to do is instill this culture of continuous learning. We have to empower and encourage each one of our sellers to be looking for those opportunities to ask themselves this question, Dan. You have to ask yourself, stop yourself and say, how could I do this differently in partnership with AI? Whatever this is, through your day, we all do things that are, we're on autopilot and we do things over and over again. And the first thing you have to learn to do is to interrupt your own process and ask yourself that question. How could I do this differently in partnership with AI? And then you have to be curious enough to go find out what else you could do. How could I do this differently? And learn from each other, set up communities, make sure that you're having those conversations back and forth. So when I have these conversations with sales organizations, it has several components. The first is, let's get everybody a foundational understanding of some key terms and the happenings at a global level, at an industry level, and at a front lines level, so that they can all feel comfortable and confident when we talk about artificial intelligence, they know what that means. So we're going to start with that. Then we're going to do some things like we are going to look for, if you use the Challenger sales methodology, and this is the process that you follow, we're going to look for some very specific tools and we're going to teach people how to follow that methodology, leveraging artificial intelligence. so that they are taking what they already have entrenched and working well, and we're superpowering that with artificial intelligence. So now we've got elements of their sales methodology, we've got foundational understanding of what's happening with artificial intelligence, and we've even got some hands-on elements that says, let's go practice doing this so that they have done it themselves. They've been in the trenches. Now, how do we make sure that they continue to feel supported with that? We can do things like monthly topic briefings where we're bringing everybody together and we're talking about something specific that's happening around artificial intelligence that is relevant to them. And we're letting them not only hear from me or from my team as experts, but they're also getting to hear from one another and learning together and keeping this momentum, the curiosity and the momentum going. Mm-hmm. And then another thing I really love to do with clients is what I call evolution labs. And these are, think of them like, Dan, think of them like a hackathon. Only it's for, let's get everybody together. It's going to be our sellers. It's going to be our partners that are helping us deliver and our customers. And we're going to get together and we're going to go look what has developed since the last time we were together. We just did this a quarter ago. What has developed now that we could be using? How could we be doing our work differently? What could this look like? And really doing some of that learn, seek to understand, and just dig in from a curiosity perspective to continue to look for new and emerging ways that we can solve problems together using AI. And it's really fun, right? And people enjoy it. You get to find new tools, see what's possible. It piques curiosity. It makes people feel excited and interested in the work they do to do something new and different.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You've got an opportunity now to leapfrog the competition, right? Either your own, team internally, the other sellers, or, the competition in terms of your competitors. And it's just about maybe getting there faster or finding the thing that's going to get you there. But it's just this brave new frontier right now of possibility. And what you're doing and with your team is just giving people the framework and the structure to come back and continually do that. Do you have any, are there any early case studies or data points from some of the organizations, or is it too early?
Something that's really interesting is that I, of course, expected to get, because the business is inbound, right? And I expected that to be filled with organizations that tend to be tech first thinkers, tech first industries, right? I fully expected that. And I do have that. But what I also have is customers that you would think of as typically technology laggards. And this is really interesting to me that many of these organizations that find themselves, perhaps they've maybe been on a little bit of a decline for the last decade, and they feel like they've kind of lost their mojo, and they see this moment in time as an inflection point to allow them to, turn the tables and to get back on top. So it's been very interesting to see that it's sort of a dichotomy. I've got customers that are very typically tech first thinkers doing what they always do. And then I've got this group of customers that is very interested in saying, hey, we see that this is a game changer and we don't want to miss the boat. We want to take advantage of this and turn around where we're at. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, really. It's almost like some of the companies that began to thrive in the pandemic that weren't necessarily doing so great, like Best Buy is one that comes to mind, that they were one of the first ones to embrace curbside delivery. And they just, it reinvented them, in the pandemic. So this is going to be another thing where companies are going to be potentially coming back to life. Right. And that they're going to leverage AI and be an early adopter. and reinvent their business. So many tremendous stories that could come out of this. It's so exciting. I know you've got a book coming out, which is also going to be a tremendous, you know, boost for your business, I'm sure. But talk a little bit about that. When is it coming out, and what sort of fun things are going to be in there?
So I have a book about generative AI that's coming out. We are targeting the last part of January for the book to be released. It is heavily, it's heavily supported by visualization. And so what I mean by that is we have approximately 70 infographics, charts and graphs, et cetera, in the book, because I am a big believer in visual communication. I think it is tremendously helpful. You know, I'm a professor, have been for years, and I see in students over and over again, particularly when you're talking about more technical topics, using visuals can be really powerful to helping people understand concepts. And so I've leaned really heavily into graphics for this book. I think it's important to help people to understand what's really happening. Let's demystify, let's take the fear out of this, let's empower people, because this is such an exciting time. And I want people to come away from reading this book with lists of actionable things to do. So every chapter in my book starts with a strategy. Here are the things you need to be thinking about from a strategic perspective. And the last part of each chapter is go do this. So I start with strategy and drill down to the tactical. Here's what you should take away from this particular chapter. In every chapter in the book, it follows that flow.
No, that's great. You know, because we were talking about this a little bit before we jumped on. You know, it's just hard today. The brain is overloaded. So the graphics and pictures and things to go along with the words, and also the way you're putting it together, like a real learning, almost textbook approach, you know, which is what you need, because it's just, you know, starting from the ground up here. This has been really so exciting. I mean, I am very, very happy for you with this new venture. It sounds like you're just going to, you know, do very, very well. You're already doing great. It was a very, very smart career move for you. And we certainly are very thankful that you came on today. How can people, if they want to connect with you and your business, how do they reach out to you, Lisa?
I love for people to connect with me, Dan. I'm on LinkedIn quite literally every day. So it's called Palmer Lisa C. is where you can find me on LinkedIn. I also write prolifically on my blog. That's drlisa.ai/blog. You can follow me there as well. I try very hard to respond to every direct message that I get. So it may take me a little while, but I will get to you. And I would love to have your viewers connect with me. It would be my pleasure.
Oh, awesome. Well, this has been great. This has been one of our best episodes. Really happy you came on. Dr. Lisa Palmer, thank you again. We wish you well. Come back in another few months and let's talk about some success stories and all the new stuff that's going to be happening when we get to that point. So thanks again.
I will look forward to that, Dan. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.